Good evening. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. It's Thursday, July 21st. On today's program, we'll be talking about a new report on the Lansing area real estate market. Are homes starting to sell? And fracking, it's becoming big business in Michigan, a way of extracting natural gas from deep in the ground. The industry says it's safe. Environmental groups aren't so sure. But first, the presidential election over a year away, but a wide field of Republican candidates are already in the race. Among them, Michigan U.S. Congressman Thaddeus McCotter, and he joins me now. Welcome to the program, Congressman.
Oh, thanks for having me, Mike.
Now, elections often come down to funding. A report filed with the Federal Elections Commission shows a lot of money has already been raised at this point. Mitt Romney, over $18 million. Ron Paul, $4.5 million. Michelle Bachmann, over $3.5 million. How are you going to compete with these kinds of numbers?
Well, first of all, we can look at the numbers of the people who've raised a lot of money and expended a lot of money and yet don't seem to be getting any traction. What we're finding out is that the public is attuned to the message. This is why the field is wide open, as you say, despite the millions that have already been spent. And so if you take the message to the people and unite behind it, what you'll see is support come. I think it's a mistake to try to say that money is what's going to make the determination or we just find the richest person in the United States and run him or her.
I see. Although there is going to be a lot of money that you will have to raise to at least compete with these candidates.
I don't know if that's the case. I think what you're seeing, look, you've seen, again, go right through the polling. You've seen people already raise and spend millions of dollars that are sinking in the polls. You've seen people that have spent far less going up. So I think that because the field is wide open and because there's dissatisfaction with the field, you should put the message before the support. Now, if the support doesn't come, then that's fine. But to put support before the message or money before the message seems to me, then John Connally would have beaten Ronald Reagan in 1980.
Well, that's true. And the question then is, where are they going wrong in terms of their message? Are they not touching base with voters on some key issues?
Well, that's what the voters will tell you. You know, eventually, if they respond to the message, whoever's it is, not mine, I think we have to focus on two things, obviously, to help the economy grow, in addition to regulatory and tax reform, is that you have to restructure big government for the future. You can't simply nip around the edges, or you can't simply have austerity, because the premise behind big government at the present time is to try to get bigger and get bigger, and it doesn't match what we're seeing families and business entities have to do to restructure for the age of globalization. We in Michigan need to look no further than the painful things that had to be done with the auto industry to make sure they could survive and compete and be successful. Secondly, the Wall Street bailout failed, and one of the biggest problems we have is the absence of credit flowing down to small businesses, to entrepreneurs, to startups, so that workers can work and grow this economy and get the economy moving in the right direction again. Unless you do those two things, any type of policies that come forward aren't going to help 14 million unemployed people. They're not going to help the over 30 million that are underemployed and can't trade jobs because better ones aren't there. They're not going to help the kids that are trying to enter the labor market. They're not going to move America in the right direction.
Well, the debt ceiling, obviously an ongoing debate in Washington. So I need to ask you, with Republicans taking a hard stance against any thought of including a tax increase on the wealthiest, is this your position also on the debt ceiling?
I support cut, cap, and balance, which I think will solve the problem both now and in the future of having the debt ceiling raised. Let's forget that the hard positions that were taken were by the Democrats for 2 years when they went on a historic spending spree. And now the bill is coming due and they want to raise taxes. Surprise, surprise. That would be bad for the economy and, again, the people that we are concerned about, trying to grow this economy immediately, especially in Michigan with a 10.2% unemployment rate. Taxes are not going to help grow this economy.
Now, getting back to your campaign, Bill Maher, I'm sure you heard his comments on his show on HBO where he talked about you and said that, quote, he wears his campaign button upside down so that even he can glance down and see who he is. Is that going to be your biggest challenge ultimately, simply raising your name recognition?
Well, there's always an irony there that I certainly caught Mr. Maher's attention, and it was kind of him to put my name out there, so I appreciate the help. And yes, it's going to be a difficult task, but again, that's why we have campaign.
After winning five consecutive elections in the 11th district, you haven't explicitly announced that you won't be running for a sixth term. Are you still leaving the door open to run for re-election to Congress?
Well, not even considering the question, I'm focused on running for the presidency of the United States. That's, as you point out, a very difficult thing.
And what do you see in terms of your campaign? How aggressively will you be campaigning in the coming months to get your name out there?
As aggressively as we possibly can. And again, if there's traction, that'll be up to the voters, as it should be.
Do you plan to travel around the country?
I plan to travel around to Iowa, to New Hampshire, throughout Michigan, throughout any states, where it's beneficial to travel, try to get the message out.
Now, one thing that makes you stand out among other Republican candidates is that you're not a fan of free trade. What are the dangers of free trade, and what kind of restrictions should be placed on trade?
Well, there's no such thing as free trade or protectionism. No matter what you hear, no country is entirely free of trade with another nation, and no nation has entirely free trade with another. What they have to be treated as is business contracts. And we have to look at the impact that they're going to have on the United States in terms of job growth, in terms of the growth of our prosperity. And all we need to do to look at some of the problems that we've run into is to look at the way that the People's Republic of Communist China is elite, is allowed to cheat on every possible thing that they can in terms of their relationship with us, and the proof is in the pudding. We have a $200 billion trade deficit with a country that we're told is the largest market in the world, and yet they're not allowing the reciprocity of U.S. goods to come in, U.S. goods to be manufactured, for U.S. investment to come in unfettered. So I think that that's one of the first things you have to do, is increase the reciprocity to until it's fair. I would also say that in dealing with a communist dictatorship, that you should, one, not do it, but if you're going to do it, you should reattach human rights to your trade agreements with them.
I'm talking to Republican presidential candidate Thaddeus McCotter, also U.S. Congressman from Michigan. When it comes to the Tea Party, you've expressed concern that if Republicans don't cater to some of their issues, they could become a significant third party in the race. Would that potentially lead to a Republican loss in the presidential election?
Yes, I think it would. I think the Republicans need a broad-based coalition. As you know, Mike, the Republican Party's only won one popular election since 1988. And that was the 2004 election, which was really a security election after 9/11 and dealing with Iraq. So the Republican Party has to build a broad-based coalition. And when you deal with the Tea Party, all I did was state what I think is pretty obvious, and many Tea Partiers have stated before, is that 2010 can be a blip or a building block, and that many of them who decided to vote Republican are going to wait and see what the results are before they sign on for 2012.
And when it comes to the issues that the Tea Party is most concerned about, which of those do you think should be handled fully by the Republican Party and a Republican presidential candidate?
Well, I think that they're equally concerned about the economy and they are mindful of the relationship between government spending. Because as Ronald Reagan said, they show the size and growth of government over the sovereign citizenry is reflected in spending, is reflected in the size of the debts and deficits that are run up. So they're concerned about both, and I think that you have to address both. If you do not fully address the size and scope of government and try to bring fiscal sanity and integrity back to Washington, that you're going to lose them. And I think that if you don't have an economic message that makes sense, you're going to lose them. And so in the end, the Republicans have to perform. And just like any other party, the Democrats have had difficulty with their progressive wing in the past. And I remember back when Harry Truman ran, they had a divided Democratic Party because many of the things that were done were not pleasing to aspects of their coalition.
Now, you've been very clear about your opposition to the Obama health plan, although with our aging population and a system that's clearly leaving many people out in the cold, isn't there a need for a dramatic change in our health care policies?
Well, yes, but it's not to have government control the supply of health care or to implement a principle called comparative effectiveness, where the bureaucrats determine who gets treatment based upon your life years, if the government's getting its bang for the buck. As with any supply and demand problem, what you have to do is allow the supply to grow to meet the demand. If you do not, costs will go up because of the demand rising, and you will eventually see scarcity. If the government is controlling it, you will eventually see rationing. So what you have to do is start to allow for the free market forces to start growing, to allow the citizens to reduce costs through consumer and patient-centered wellness, through preventative health care, through control of their own money, through expanded HSAs, through purchasing insurance across state lines and having more open markets for innovations to come forward. If not, you're going to wind up, in a position of where the supply will be curtailed, costs will go up, and the government will eventually have to deal with the scarcity through the bureaucracy.
With this growing population of elderly, do you foresee a time where we will need to make cutbacks in our federal social services?
Not if we restructure the federal government to get rid of the things that are right now trying to get people who do not need government help to get by. What the welfare state does is it expands to try to encompass people who do not need it to be self-reliant. It encourages dependence. So what we need to do is to restructure the government to eliminate that. What we also need to do is, through Social Security reform, which I'll be introducing, is to allow personalization of accounts. What we need is to allow individuals under Medicare to have more control of their health care decisions that they make so that they can have more competition and more choices. It's a world that is moving through the communications revolution towards self-government. The only entity that isn't doing it seems to be the federal government, because it does not seem to think that it has to.
And finally, when it comes to foreign affairs, we've seen President Obama essentially remain uninvolved in the Middle East, although he came out boldly when it comes to Israel, calling on our ally to roll back to its 1967 borders, which many say are indefensible. What's your view on the president's position on this issue?
Well, I disagree with the president's position on trying to assert the 67 borders, which are indefensible as a martial matter, and I would argue as a political matter, in trying to deal with your ally in the region. I think the continued situation is you need a two-state solution agreed on by both parties. It can't be imposed from above. And I think that the president's attempt to go to the 67 borders actually makes that more difficult.
And when it comes to Iran, we know they've been working on a nuclear program. The president hasn't said very much about that country. Are we doing enough to deal with that situation?
Well, the president hasn't talked about the green revolution in Iran very much. Certainly, we have to give it full economic and diplomatic support for the people trying to get rid of that regime and implode it underneath their aspirations for freedom. And we should be doing the same thing with Syria, which we've now started to back off of. And I think it's a terrible mistake. It seems unfortunate that the two most notorious exporters of terrorism in that region and in the world are the ones that we deal with most lightly when their own people are seeking freedom.
Republican presidential candidate and Michigan U.S. Congressman Thaddeus McCotter, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.